This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Baruchim Abayim to the Koilel Agra, the Pirka Nationwide. Parshas Truma. We're embarking upon Chodesh Adar. Already tonight, Rosh Chodesh Adar, Mishanechnas Adar Marben Besimcha. We have a very interesting subject today. We're going to speak about the most important kli in the Beis Hamikdash, namely the Arayin. And the Torah tells us regarding the Arayin, Va'asisa Shinayim Kruvim Zahav, you should make two golden cherubs. Miksha Ta'asa Oisam, you should make them banged out. Mishnei Kitzois HaKapayras, from the two sides of the Kapayras. So you have to make two cherubs. Make sure you bang them out. You can't make them and then melt them on top, smolder them on top. No, you have to bang them out of the cover. Now, where do you put the kruvim? So the pasuk says, "Va'asei kruv echad mikatzam mizeh." Put one kruv on one end, kruv echad mikatzam mizeh, and another kruv on the other end. Min ha'kapoyres, from the kapoyres itself, ta'asu as ha'kruvim, you should make the kruvim al shnei ketzayisav on its two sides. So there is one basic question over here. Because Pasuk Yud Ches already said, make two kruvim, make them out of gold, on the two sides. So what exactly are we missing? Why does the Torah then have to say, and make one on one side and one on the other? We got that already. It said make two, and they should be on the two sides. It said, V'asisa, Pasuk Yud Ches, V'asisa shnayim kruvim, mishnei ketzayis ha'kapoyres. So what is Pasuk Yotes adding? Va'asei kruv echad mikatzeh mizeh, v'chruv echad mikatzeh mizeh. Says Rashi, you might have thought that you should make two kruvim for each side. Therefore, the Pasuk says, no, one on one side, one on the other. In other words, it says, make two kruvim. Make them on the two sides. So you would think there should be a total of four, two on one side, two on the other. That's what I would have thought had it been for Pasuk Yud Ches. Comes Pasuk Yud Tes, and Pasuk Yud Tes says, no. Va'asei kruv echad mikatsa mizeh, kruv echad mikatsa mizeh. So that's very difficult. If in fact I would have thought that you should have a total of four kruvim, and therefore I need Pasuk Yud Tes to say, no, one on one side, one on the other. So then just say, Pasuk Yud Tes, make one kruv on one, make one kruv on the other, and I don't need clarification. Why leave it vague and ambiguous and unclear and then need to clarify? Just say straight, make one on one side, one on the other. Then we come to the badim of the Arayin. V'tabeo is Arayin yiyu. Habadim lo yasuru mimenu. And the rings of the Arayin should be poles. Don't remove them, says Rashi la'olam. Never ever remove the poles. This is a very strange commandment. It's a lav in the Torah to remove the poles of the Arayin. So what's amazing is we know we carried the Shulchan by the poles, and yet you were allowed to remove the poles of the Shulchan. We carried the Mizbeach by the poles, and we were allowed to remove the poles of the Arayin. And the Arayin, you did not need the poles to carry the Arayin because the Arayin carried those who carried it. So you would think if there was ever a kli whose poles were expendable, it would be the poles of the Arayin. No, the poles of the Arayin you can never take out. What's that all about? Why could you not take out the poles of the Arayin? We come to Sefer Melachim and we encounter one of the most unusual and startling pieces of information. And that is, even though the Torah says make two kruvim, there's a man by the name of Shlomo HaMelech, and he decided to make some upgrades to the temple, and instead of making two kruvim, he added another two kruvim, which is hafla v'fela, because you know, in the end of Parashas Yisroi, when it talks about not making Avodah Zarah, the example Rashi gives is if instead of making two kruvim, you make four kruvim, that is considered Avodah Zarah. Don't think because I gave you license to put cherubs on top of the box, so cherubs is like the design of choice in the temple. If you add to it, it's Avodah Zarah. So what does Shlomo HaMelech do? What does he do? He makes two more kruvim. Look in Malachim Aleph, Perek Vav, Pasuk Chav Gimel to Chavav. Vayas Badavir, he made an advir, Shnei Kruvim, two cherubs, Atse Shaman of olive wood. Eser Amois Kaimasai, 10 Amois tall. I mean, these guys are big Kruvim. Chazonish, these guys are 20 feet tall. They had a wingspan of 10 feet. I mean, we're talking bigger than an eagle. The Chama, you know, there was an eagle spotted in Maine this week. I mean, these cherubs were unbelievable. The Chama Ish Amois, Kanaf HaKrov HaEchas, 5 Amois, were the wing of one cherub. The Chama Ish Amois, Kanaf HaKrov HaShenis, and 5 Amois was the wing of another cherub. Eser Amois, 10 Amois, Miketsois Kanafav, from the end of its wings, we had Ketsois Kanafav until the end of its wings. So each cherub had a wingspan of 5 amos. So from one to the other, it's 20 feet. V'yeser ba'ama akruv asheni, 10 amos tall is the second kruv. Mida achas, v'ketzev echad l'shnei akruvim. Koy mas akruv echad asher ama, v'chein akruv asheni. So each guy was 10 amos tall. The wingspan was 5 amos each. Combined wingspan of 10 amos. What's going on over here? Look in the Rashi and Divrei Yomim. V'hoyu kanfei akruvim matin min hakoysel v'soichel hakavaros. These guys hovered over the entire kapoyres, hovered over the aron. Besides these kruvim, were the kruvim that Moshe made min hakapoyres adayin adukin umedubakim hakavaros. The kruvim that Moshe made came out of the kapoyres itself. V'oyim demalav, and they stood on it. And says Rashi, don't wonder why Shlomo did this. He made more shulchanos, he made more menorahs. But today the question at hand is, what in the world is Shlomo doing? God told Moshe, make two kruvim. And Shlomo made 4 kruvim. How could he do such a thing? So the Chida, quoting a Rishon, Rav Vidal HaTzarfasi, he says, if you remember many years ago, this goes back, I don't know, 8-9 years ago in the summer in Agra de Pirkei, we learned Masechta Tamid. So I told you at the time, the most important pasuk to remember is the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, that the pasuk says, HaKoil B'chsav, that David HaMelech says about the construction of the Beis HaMikdash, everything was in writing, Miyad Hashem, from the hand of God, Alai Hiskil, he gave me the intuition, Kol Malachos HaTavnis, all the work of the imagery. Which means, don't think that when David drew the architectural plans of the Mishkan, he was just an artist, or he was artistic. No, everything David wrote was divinely inspired. God communicated to David and Shlomo all the details, all the discrepancies, all the differentiations, all the nuances of difference between the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan. So therefore, don't ask how could David and Shlomo do something different than they had in the Beis HaMikdash, than they had in the Mishkan. This is the principle of HaKoil B'chsav Miyad Hashem Olai Hiskel. Now, question. The Chida says, well, that's not a good enough answer. You know why? Because it's very nice that God told Shlomo and David how to make the Beis HaMikdash. But we have a principle, the Haloi Ein Novi Rashoi L'Chadish Dover Me'ata. Once God told Moshe Rabbeinu the details of Torah, it cannot be manipulated, it cannot be changed, it cannot be added to by a Novi. Ein Novi Rashoi L'Chadish Dover. We just had a Masechta Megillah on Daf Gimel. The Gemara says that the final letters of the Hebrew alphabet, Menatzbach Tsoifim Amram, and the Gemara says, well, what do you mean Tsoifim Amram? If God didn't tell Moshe, or if God only gave Moshe one kind of letter, then the Nevi'im can't change it. So the Gemara says that it was always known, and then it was forgotten, and the Nevi'im brought it back. But how does it help? It doesn't help to say, HaKoil B'Sav Miyad Hashem Alai Hiskil. Very nice, it's divinely inspired, but a Navi cannot change Torah. And therefore, the Chida, citing Rav Vidal HaTzarfasi, says the Navi is not changing the Torah, but in fact, God told Moshe Rabbeinu about the possibility of making another two Kruvim. Now, before I tell you the Chidah's Pshat, I want to show you what the Chassam Sofer writes in a Tshuva. Chassam Sofer writes in a Tshuva, he explains the Pasuk as follows. Kechol asher ani mareh oisecha, eis tavnis hamishkan, v'yeis tavnis kol kelav, v'chein ta'asu. Literally it means, in accordance with what I show you, the image of the Mishkan, and the image of all the kelim, so should you do for all generations. Simply that means, God is saying, that when you build the Beis HaMikdash, you build the first temple, the second temple, it needs to be following what I told Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. But the Chassam Sofer says, in sort of answering this type of question, that how could changes be made in the Beis HaMikdash that were not instructed to Moshe, says the Chassam Sofer that the rule, that Ein Navi Rashai L'Chadesh Davar, is when God tells Moshe Rabbeinu something, a Navi cannot come along and say, well, nowadays in the Mikdash, we need to do it this way. But here, in this case, God told Moshe, K'chol asher ani mare oischa, just like I'm showing you, Eis tavnis ha-mishkan, v'eis tavnis kol kelav, just like I'm showing you the image of the Mishkan, the image of the kelim, kein tasu, so should you do in the way that I instruct the Nevi'im throughout the generations. In other words, God is telling Moshe that regarding future Batei Mikdashos, I will instruct the Navi how to do it. So even though Ein Navi Rashai L'Chadesh Davar, that's when God told Moshe, and then he comes to the Navi and he says, well, do it this way, do it that way. But when God tells Moshe that regarding future construction, I will let the Navi know, TBA, to be announced, so it's already recorded in the Torah that for future construction, God will let the Navi know, that's not a violation of Ein Navi Rashai L'Chadesh Davar, because the Torah itself is legislating that for future construction, God is letting Moshe know that I'm going to tell the Navi. That's the Chassam Sofer. However, the Chidah, quoting Rav Vidal HaTzarfasi, says that the Kruvim of Shloimeh HaMelech have already been alluded to in the Diyukim of the Pasuk. Because if you look carefully at the Pasuk, it says, V'asisa Shnayim Kruvim, which we say, we already said, implies there are four Kruvim. Two on one side, two on the other. So, says the Chidah, he says, V'hinimtza b'hagadah Shmuel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Masar Megillas, Beis HaMikdash, L'Moshe Ba'amida. God already gave the template and the plans of the Beis HaMikdash to Moshe, standing, Shenemar, V'yata, Poya, Amodi, Madi, and he gave it to Yehoshua. So, the plans of the first Beis HaMikdash is already given. Says the Rav Vidal HaTzarfasi, the additional two Kruvim are already alluded to in the Pasuk. How's that? First of all, V'asisa Va'asei. Second of all, you have one set of kruvim, el hakapoyres yepnei kruvim. Some kruvim are facing the kapoyres, and some kruvim are pnei mishal achiv. How is that? The answer is there can be. God is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, if you would like, there could be two different sets of kruvim, and this is elucidated by the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says we find that Shlomo made two kruvim. Two additional ones to what Moshe Rabbeinu made. And number one, how could Shlomo do that? How could he deviate from what Moshe was commanded? Number two, how could he make such big kruvim? He made monster kruvim. These are huge kruvim. Says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh that the pasuk is merames by saying shnayim kruvim mishnei ketzos hakapores. Why does it have to say Beis Pa'amim V'asisa V'asei? Number two, the whole pasuk is extra. Once it says make two kruvim on the two ends of the kapoyres, I think we understand one on one end, one on the other. Why would you think two on one end and none on the other? And then why does it say again, because of his own, Al Shnei Kitzoy Sav? What are the words Al Shnei Kitzoy Sav even adding? Says the Orachaim HaKadosh, Hashem is being merames to the Maisa of two Kruvim, two different Kruvim that will be built in the Beis HaMikdash, besides the Kruvim that Moshe made. So Kineged, the Kruvim of the Mishkan, it says, V'asisa, you're going to make it, because two you're going to make. And Kineged, the Kruvim of the Beis HaMikdash, that Va'asei, those are, that will be done. In other words, Va'asei, loy diber elav lenoichach, you're not going to do it, Moshe, it will be made. He's commanding on the construction of it for a different time. So aside from the two kruvim that are mentioned, that are on the two ends of the kapoires, you're going to make kruv echad mikatsa mizeh, the kruv echad mikatsa mizeh, so they're going to be standing on the ground. In other words, Hashem is telling Moshe, you're going to make two kruvim, and they're going to be from the two sides of the kapoires. And it will be made, one kruv on one side, one kruv on the other. They will be al shnei ketsoysev. Now, if it's al shnei ketsoysev, they're not going to be on the kapoires. So for them to be hovering over the aroin, they're going to have to be quite tall and have quite a large wingspan. And this is, so to speak, the signal to Shloimai that his construction of an additional two kruvim is not a violation of in Navi Rashoi L'chadesh Davar, but it's alluded to in the very psukim said to Moshe Rabbeinu. So what is mutal aleinu? What is our responsibility now? And by the way, the Chassam Sofer likewise in Mahadura Tulisoi, he says, also similarly, why does it say in the beginning al shnei kitzois, which implies two kruvim on both ends, and why the second time does it say asei and not ve'asisa? So it says Chassam Sofer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving rishus to make two sets of kruvim if you want, but you should make one mikatsa mizeh. And from there, Shlomo HaMelech learned that he was authorized to make another, an additional set of kruvim. So what is incumbent upon us is, while Shlomo HaMelech had the right to do this, but what prompted him to do this? Why did he want to do this? Is it just because he found the remez that there can be an additional set of kruvim? Why were there no kruvim in the times of Moshe, and there were kruvim in the times of Shloimai? What happened in the times of Shloimai that we needed to add these kruvim? So who are we to enter the secrets of the details of the Mishkan? After all, only Bezalel was able to make the Mishkan. Bezalel knew he yodea bahem ha'isyos letzarif ha'isyos shabahem nivra shamayim ba'aretz. So Bezalel was Betzel Ka, he knew the secrets of the Mishkan, but nevertheless, Torahi v'lumayranu tzarech, let's try to understand, according to our level, what was the objective of these additional kruvim, why Davka did Shlomo HaMelech want to make them, asks the Be'er Yosef, le'iza kavana osa Shlomo be'beis HaMikdash, oid shnei kruvim. For what intention did Solomon make an additional two kruvim that stood on the ground, in addition to the kruvim that were on the kapoires, that were in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu? And yes, everything was benevuah, like it says, HaKol b'chsav miyad Hashem alai hiskel, but there had to have been a specific reason, a specific message. What was the purpose of these kruvim? So, I would like to share with you today the approach of the Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, the Chassam Sofer, as well as an original thought. Let's talk about the poles of the Arayin. The Gemara says in Yuman Daf Ayin Beis, someone who removes the poles of the Arayin gets Malkus. However, by the Mizbeach or the Shulchan, the poles are only in the Kli when you carry them, but there's no Chiyuv that they should always be in it, and if you remove it, there's no Lav. Well, says the Meshech Chachma, let me explain to you. The Aroin is a remez to the Keser of Torah. Torah is available to whoever would like it. Anybody has the ability to learn, to become great in learning, to delve into all Mekzois HaTorah. Here's the issue, here's the problem. If somebody were to immerse themselves in Torah, then how do they live? How do they pay the bills? How do they survive? How do they support their family? How do they pay rent? How do they buy clothing? How do they eat food? So unfortunately, there is a improper attitude. And that's their problem, that's not my problem. They made the decision not to be gainfully employed. So it's their problem how they will support myself. Luckily, I made the good decision, or my father sent me to school, and I'm gainfully employed, and I don't got to worry about myself. And this Talmud Chacham, well, you know, you can't have your cake and eat it. You want to learn Torah, so suffer and learn Torah. What do you want from my life? But Chazal tell us, no, that's not a proper attitude. Chazal tell us that the Talmud Chacham needs support, and it is incumbent upon those who are gainfully employed to give commerce and give sustenance to the Talmid Chachamim in order to preserve the Torah. In fact, the Gemara says in Yuma, "V'asisa lecha aroin eitz," you should make for yourself a box of wood, and it says they should make a box of atzei shittim. From here, it's very interesting. It says you should make it, they will make it, and basically, Chazal darshan from there that a Talmud Chacham doesn't go to work. In other words, the people of the city, they have to do the malacha of the Talmud Chacham. Says the Meshech Chachma, this is the meaning of the Badim of the Arayin. The Badim of the Arayin are the support of Torah. And lest the person say, okay, I already gave tzedakah. My shul made 3 appeals this year. I gave $100 to each one. I give a quarter to the pushka every morning. So on my tzedakah, I'm really good. No. The Torah says there need to be badim in the arayin. And when it comes to the badim of the mizbeach, and it comes to the badim of the shulchan, you could take them in, you could take them out. But when it comes to the badim of the arayin, they always have to be there. You can never remove them. It is an obligation and responsibility that every person of ability has to ask themselves, how am I supporting the Torah today? Like Chazal say in the Yushalmi, that if a person didn't learn, and he didn't teach, and he didn't preserve, and he didn't keep the mitzvah, but he didn't have the financial ability to support Torah, and he supported Torah, he is blessed. And I tell you, I am just as guilty as anybody else. Sometimes you see at a dinner, this place, they honor some wealthy guy. And you say, what? They're honoring him? That oisvarf. That, he. What does he keep? What does he know? No, Chazal say that even if someone is not observant of mitzvahs, and they support the Torah, they are blessed. On the other hand, Chazal say that if someone keeps the Torah, he learns, he observes, he teaches, but he's able to support and he doesn't support, he's the opposite of Baruch. And therefore, the Torah says when it comes to the support of Torah, don't say, I gave Lakewood 3.5 years ago. I gave the yeshiva last year. I gave this kollel 2 weeks ago. I gave this person 7 days ago. We have to ask ourselves daily, how did I support Torah today? That is the love of the Torah. B'taba'ois ha'aroin yiu habadim lo yasuru mimenu. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky along the same lines, if the badim are the support of the Torah, and Chazal say, le'oilam b'taba'ois ha'aroin yiu habadim lo yasuru mimenu le'oilam. Le'oilam means as follows. Chazal say in Psachim, someone who supports Talmid Chachamim, he will be up there in the heavenly yeshiva together with the Talmid Chacham, as the Pasuk says, Ki b'tzel ha-chachma b'tzel ha-kasaf. In the shadow of wisdom will be the shadow of money. Meaning, You think upstairs in the Shamayim, now the Talmud Chacham, he doesn't need the Oishar, he doesn't need the supporter. So maybe the Talmud Chacham, he's like in some kind of rarefied territory, and the supporter is, you know, in the back seat. No, the same way in this world, Talmud Chacham was not able to learn without the assistance of those who were the Badim. La'olam, those Badim are inextricable from the Talmud Chacham, not only Ba'olam Hazeh, Ba'olam Haba as well. And the Chassam Sofer takes this even further. Chassam Sofer says he heard from his Rebbe, Rav Nosson Adler, that we know in the Arayin were the Luchais represent the Torah. And the two Kruvim on top of the Luchais, says Chassam Sofer, he heard from his Rebbe, are two Talmidei Chachamim who are discoursing in Torah pleasantly. They're learning one to the other. They are facing the Kapoires, that their all their Kavana is to be Mechavein to what it says in the Luchais. And what are the two Badim? The two Badim are the Machzikei Torah. They're the supporters of Torah. Eitz Chaim hi l'machazikim ba. Says the Chassam Sofer, lest the person think, I'm the supporter of Torah. You know how the Talmud Chacham learns? I support him. You know how that yeshiva operates? I fund it. You know how that kaila works? I'm a staunch advocate. The Torah rests on me. I'm the supporter of the Torah. But we know it's just the opposite. Because Chazal say the Aroin was noiseyas noisav. The Aroin carried those who supported it. So instead of thinking, I support the Torah, one needs to realize, I'm not supporting the Talmud Chacham. I'm not supporting the yeshiva. I'm not supporting the Torah. By me having the zuchus to contribute toward a yeshiva, the yeshiva is holding me up. The yeshiva is supporting me. The yeshiva is noisei es atzmi. The yeshiva is carrying me. So the same way the badim can never be removed, but the badim don't carry the arayin, the arayin carry the badim. Likewise, it's not the machzikei Torah who are machzik the Torah. The Torah is noisei es noisav. Now we come to a very interesting and complex phenomenon. And that is the positioning of the Kruvim. Because Marv Rabbeisai, in order to understand the Kruvim of Solomon, we need to understand how the Kruvim were positioned in the Beis HaMikdash. And basically in Baba Basra and Av Tzadi Tes, we had a machloikas, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar. One says they faced each other, and one says they faced the bias. And how do we reconcile that? So one opinion is they faced Ish El Achiv, and one opinion is Pneim Labayis. The Gemara says, according to the Man D'Amar, they faced each other. What does it mean they faced the bias? That's talking about when we don't do the will of Hashem. When we don't do the will of Hashem, they turned away from each other. When we do the will of Hashem, they faced each other. The Gemara says, what about the opinion that status quo was they were facing the bias? But the Pasuk says, Pneim Ish El Achiv. So the Gemara says, no. They were sort of on an angle. They weren't looking at each other straight up, sort of like you talk to your friend, where you're not like staring him straight in the eye, you're turned a little bit to the side. Reb Chaim Volozhiner has a very in-depth discussion about this Gemara. And we're just going to take one particular thing from Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Reb Chaim Volozhiner explains this Gemara, and he's also bothered that what does it mean that in the times of Shlomo, the Kruvim, so to speak, were tilted away from each other, and in the times of Moshe, they were sort of facing each other straight on? The Gemara in Brachos on Lamed Hei Amud Beis discusses the age-old discussion, should a person learn all day long or go to work? And basically, it's a machlokes. On the one hand, the Torah says, La yomer sefer ha-Torah zemipicha, v'hagisa ba yomem v'layla. And so you would think, okay, you should literally learn day and night, but then it says, v'yosafta deganecha, gather in your grain, which implies, hanig b'hem minag deracheres, you got to get a job. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. The Rashbi says, can you plant, can you plow in the time of plowing? What's going to be with the Torah? So the Rashbi says, if you do the will of God, Torah, malachta nasas ayidei acherim. If you do the will of God, your malacha will be taken, will be carried out through others. If you don't do the will of God, then v'yasafta deganecha. So Rabbi Shmuel says, you got to get a job. Hanig ma'mina deracheres. And the Rashbi says, look, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, then God will provide you somehow. It's only if you're not doing the will of God, then you should go out and work. Which is very difficult. You're telling me v'yasafta deganecha is when you're not doing the will of God? The pasuk of v'yasafta deganecha is in the parsha of Ula avdoi b'chol levavchem. Talking about Jews who serve God with all their heart. How could you say v'yasafta deganecha is speaking to someone who's not doing the will of God? So Reb Chaim Volozhiner basically explains this Gemara, that even Rabbi Shmuel, who says that you're allowed to go to work, it does not mean that you can interrupt from Torah study and work. As if in that moment you're not going to learn at all? What Rabbi Shmuel means, says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, is in a very high madrega, is Hanheg Bahen Minag Daracheretz. That even while you're working, you should be learning in your mind at the same time. Obviously, a very high level. However, many people try to follow the Rashbi. The Gemara says many people tried to follow the Rashbi, and it didn't work out. Says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, that means many people, for many people, it's not going to work out. It's not going to work out for many people that they could spend their whole life learning Torah and not interrupt for Parnasa at all. But an individual that has the capability of doing so, he's responsible to do so. And then, others will carry out his Parnasa. The Pasuk V'yasafta deganecha, even though it's in the Parsha of Bizman she'oisin ritzoinoi shel makayim, but that's for the rabbim. For the rabbim who are doing Ritzonu Shel Makom, the yachid then cannot go ahead. And if he's capable of fulfilling the objective of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, he needs to do so. Let's get to the upshot. Says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, the kruvim, they represent God and Bnei Yisrael. And in commensurate with the closeness and the dveikus of Klal Yisrael to Hashem, that was reflected and manifest in the standing of the Kruvim. When Klal Yisrael was absolutely davuk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, super focused, without thinking about how am I going to make a living, how am I going to support my family, they were focused just on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then God and Knesset Yisrael were opposite each other, completely focused on each other, not diverting and deviating in any direction. And then, that's talking about the era of the Dar HaMidbar, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent down Man Min HaShamayim, and Klal Yisrael did not have to go out and earn a Parnasa. However, that was the generation of the Midbar, where they were completely focused on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not turning in any direction other than Torah and Avodah and V'higisa Yomam V'layla, and they did not have to fulfill any V'yasafta deganecha. They were like the two Kruvim Upnei Mishalachiv. However, says Rav Chaim Volozhiner, in the times of Shlomo HaMelech, that Klal Yisrael was not on the Madrega of perfect bitachon, to rely only on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now they had to turn a little bit and think, okay, how am I going to support myself? How am I going to have Parnasa? Which is the Ratzon, according to Rabbi Shmuel, that for the Rabbim under such circumstances has to be focused on a natural way of making parnasa? Yeah? So, in the times of Shlomo HaMelech, when the Klal Yisrael had to turn away just a little bit, so that's what it means, it was sadudei tsadudei. That's why in the times of Shlomo, the Kruvim were turned just a bit away from each other, because they were not on the madrega of absolute reliance of Hashem to rely just on the man. Now they were sort of thinking in the back of their mind, okay, we have to utilize natural means to support ourselves. So what we learn, Rabbeisai, from the Nefesh HaChaim, is there was a change in approach and in attitude in the times from between Moshe and Shlomo. In the times of Moshe, Klal Yisrael were solely focused only on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that their livelihood, their sustenance comes only from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore it was Pnei HaMishalachiv. In the times of Shlomo, they couldn't subside just on that type of existence. They thought a little bit about natural means. Now, Rabbi Yisai, Chassam Sofer explains why it was necessary for Shlomo to add two Kruvim in the times of Shlomo HaMelech. The Chassam Sofer learns in his third edition that the two Kruvim on top of the Arayin that were made out of the Kapoiras themselves, they represent two Talmidei Chachamim. And the truth is, in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, all that was needed were two Talmidei Chachamim, people who learned Torah all day. And where did the Parnasa come from? It came, Lo Nitna Torah Ela Lo'ichle Haman. God provided for them, God sustained them, God nourished them. They had honey from a rock, they had man from the heavens, they had slub from the heavens, they had water from the be'er. And the world only needed two Talmidei Chachamim. There was no need for Hachzakas HaTorah. All we needed were Pneim Ish Halachiv, two Talmidei Chachamim, Ze Al Ze, because they were just reliant on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, in the times of Shlomo, it was a different kind of existence. It was a little bit more of a natural existence, says the Chassam Sofer. Now we needed two Kruvim. We needed not only Talmidei Chachamim, we needed Zevulon, who would go into the workforce and support the Talmidei Chachamim, support the yeshivas, support those who are learning. When the world is in its idyllic state and everyone is completely reliant on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then everyone will be Talmidei Chachamim, and maybe the nations of the world will be able to provide for us. We won't need the concept of Yisachar and Zevulon. We won't need these two added Kruvim. But in the times of Shlomo, says Chassam Sofer, we were not zoiche to that. So we needed another two Kruvim to be mefarnes to Talmidei Chachamim. The truth is, says Chassam Sofer, Hashem allowed Moshe to make another two Kruvim. But in times when they didn't need it, because they were on such a high madriga, they were totally reliant on Hashem, and therefore they didn't have to provide an extra two Kruvim. Says Chassam Sofer, Ha'inyin kach, Shnei Kruvim ha'ikaram al Shnei Talmidei Chachamim. The two cherubs were the two Talmidei Chachamim. Asher pneim ish al achiv. That their face was one to their brother, Sheyu noichim zalaza. That they were pleasant to each other. Upneim el ha'kapoiras. And they, in the times of Moshe, they faced the kapoiras. Their focus was on the luchais to uphold the Torah. But now we need another two Kruvim, v'bechina zevulan. That are noisim v'noisim v'mata v'masa umatan kedei lekayim ulahachzik eshnei Talmidei Chachamim. The two Kruvim are merames to the two Talmidei Chachamim. The additional two Kruvim are the two Zevulans. When the world is mesukan, like in La'asad Lava, that everyone will know God, then the nations of the world will be our farmers and they could support us and we won't need Yisachar Zevulan. Everyone will be Talmidei Chachamim. But in the times of Shlomo, we weren't zoicha to that. So Shlomo had to make another two Kruvim to be mashpia, hachzakas ha-Torah, to the two Talmidei Chachamim standing on the kapores. You see, the two Talmidei Chachamim standing on the kapores, they are the Torah themselves. It's miksha achas from the kapores. It's miksha achas from the Aroin. But the two kruvim standing on their sides, even though they're not technically in the world of Torah, in terms of the amount of time they spend, they are equally in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And they are badim that can never be removed. And then in Olam Haba, they are part and parcel of Etzem HaKadusha together with the Tamil Chachamim. In fact, the Chasam Sofer says that in his drashos, that the Kruvim of Moshe, it says, Pneim Ishal Achiv, and Shlomo made two Kruvim, and they were facing the Beis HaMikdash. And the Chasam Sofer explains it as follows, that the ones that Moshe made are the two Talmidei Chachamim, they face their brother, they are learning Bahalacha, and the two that Shlomo HaMelech made are the Ashirim, they are also facing each other, B'Shalom U'Veshava, but Mitzadid Sadudi, meaning, says Chasam Sofer, they each have to live for each other. The Talmidei Chachamim have the responsibility to guide, to ensure that the supporters of Torah are conducting their lives in the proper way, in the Derech HaYishara, and the Ashirei Ha'am have to oversee the Talmidei Chachamim to provide for them properly. But if they're not looking out for each other, if the Ashirim are not looking to provide for Talmidei Chacham, the Talmidei Chacham are not looking to assist the observance of the Ashirim, that's what causes the Churban Beis HaMikdash. The Sinas Chinam we're talking about is the Sina Bein Talmidei Chachamim and the Machzikim. So this is the approach of the Chasam Sofer. Approach of the Chasam Sofer is the reason why an additional two sets of Kruvim were needed in the times of Shlomo is because the additional Kruvim are the Machzikei HaTorah. And the Machzikei HaTorah were needed more in the times of Shlomo than times of Moshe. In times of Moshe, we were singly focused only on Kadosh Baruch Hu, so God provided us from heaven. In the times of Shlomo, when we were Mitzadeh Sedudi, when we relied to some extent on natural means, we needed additional support for the Talmidei Chachamim, and therefore Shlomo added another two Kruvim. I would like to share with you an original idea of what exactly these two Kruvim were in the times of Shlomo. Because while Chasam Sofer says that in times of Moshe they were in an idyllic existence, and the times of Shlomo they had a little bit of a more natural life, on the other hand, it could be viewed in the other way as well. If you look in the Haftarah of this week's parsha, Vashem nosan chochma l'shloimoi, the pasuk says that it was in the 400th and 80th year that the Jewish people left Egypt, Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash. Why did Shlomo build the Beis HaMikdash specifically in the 480th year? Lilus, who is the angel of contamination, is numerically valued at 480. In the year 480, we completely squelched the forces of Lilus, and when Shlomo HaMelech came to the throne, the Chida writes in his commentary to the Haftarah and Savarei Shalal, the world was in a state of Sihara be'ishlamusa. The moon was in completion. Meaning, Shlomo HaMelech brought the world to a level of completion where he subdued the koichos of Tumah to the greatest extent the world ever knew, even greater than the Yemos HaMashiach. And then Shlomo built the first temple. We know the Shechina was in the first temple. There was a certain degree of overcoming the koichos HaTumah in the times of Shlomo HaMelech than any other time. That being the case, that means they overcame this Malach Lilus. That's why they built the temple in the year 480. Let's discuss how the Koichos HaTumah in this world are apparent. The first time that we battled with the forces of Esav, the forces of Tumah, Esav wrestled with Yaakov. And the Pasuk says, Vayar kilo yachala, he saw he was not be able to prevail over Yaakov Avinu. So what did he do? Vateka kaf yarech Yaakov. Esav saw he would not be able to squelch and defeat Yaakov Avinu. So what did he do? He dislocated his hip socket. The Zohar HaKadosh says, what does it mean Esav dislocated his hip socket? Esav knew that the power of Yaakov is Limud HaTorah. And Barasi Yetzirah, Barasi Torah Tavlin, the Torah is the antidote to the Yetzirah, the Torah completely destroys the Yetzirah. And Esav at first thought he would be able to stop learning Torah. He'd be able to stop Yaakov's learning. And he realized there's no way he could take Yaakov head on. And therefore, Esav decided he has to go in a roundabout way. He has to, so to speak, get to the soft underbelly of Yaakov Avinu. He can't stop him head on, stop him from learning. So, Vateka Kafierach Yaakov, says the Zohar HaKadosh, Elu Tamchen Da'iraisa. He figured he can't stop Yaakov from learning, but Yaakov can't learn if he doesn't have support. He'll undermine the supporters of Torah. And that is what Esav did. What Esav has done is he'll never stop learning straight up. What he'll do is he'll cut the support of Loimdei Torah, and then indirectly he's undercutting the sustenance of the Loimdei Torah, and he's going to put an end to learning of Torah. So from here we see that when the Koichos HaTumah are rampant and they're strong, it is evident not in the way they don't put an end to Torah straight up, but they cut off and they mitigate Hachzakas HaTorah. Which it would come out then that when we overcome the forces of Tumah, how are we going to overcome the forces of Tumah? How do we demonstrate the complete squelching of the Koichos HaTumah? Through unbounded Limud HaTorah? No, because the Yetzirah was never able to attack that directly. The way we overcome the forces of Tumah is through increased efforts in the realm of Hachzakas HaTorah. Therefore, in the time of Shlomo HaMelech, which Chazal say it was Si Hara B'Ishlamusa, the moon was full, indicating the dominion over the Koichos HaTumah. It was in the year 480. So Shlomo HaMelech says, you know how I'm going to demonstrate overcoming the forces of Esav? By adding Hachzakas HaTorah, because the forces of Esav, they attack us. Vateka Kaf Yerech Yaakov. So how do we uphold, how do we strengthen the Yerech of Yaakov? The way we strengthen the Yerech of Yaakov is by strengthening the supporters of Torah. And therefore in the times of Shlomo, which was sort of the ultimate squelching of the Koichos HaTumah, Shlomo HaMelech put added emphasis on the two extra Zevulans that were standing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Let's end off with the powerful words of Rabbeinu Yoina and the Chafetz Chaim. Rabbeinu Yoina tells us, the top of number 21 got a little cut off here. The Rabbeinu Yoina says in the Igaras HaTshuva, a person is obligated to be Oisek in Torah every single day. Talmud Torah is the greatest mitzvah. However, in the Sifri it says, just like Talmud Torah is the greatest mitzvah, the punishment for Bittul Torah is worse than other Averois. Here you have a guy behind bars. He was a murderer. He's an adulterer. And then you have another guy. He's sitting in his room, flipping channels between all the different news venues the entire day. So one guy is a criminal, and the other guy just wastes time. Who's worse? Say Chazal, in a certain regard, the guy who wastes time is worse. God could bring a person tikkun, rectification for serious crimes, but wasting time? How do you make up for that? So that's a very scary idea. That's such a tremendous onus on a person. I mean, can anybody say that, yeah, I'm pretty confident that when it comes to the way I spend my time, I could give an exact accounting for every minute of my life. I never wasted any time. I never looked at the news unnecessarily. I never followed some kind of leisurely sporting event. I mean, who could say that? Could anybody, maybe the Vilna Gaon, you know, Chazal, the Vilna Gaon, he could look back at the end of the year and he say, oh, I have 4 minutes of Bittul Torah this year. I mean, who doesn't have more every hour? So what's our advocacy? Says Rabbeinu Yoina, the way to spare yourself from this serious indictment is supporting Tamid Chachamim, Rabbanim, Laim De Torah, Limud HaTorah. This way, in your city, in your neighborhood, in your country, there are people who are strengthening in the Limud of Torah because of you. And that is a legitimate answer to this question. As Shlomo HaMelech says, V'hakesef yaneh hakol. You know, we laugh at it. Any problem that money can't solve is not a problem. Well, money could solve this problem. Now, obviously, a person has to give it their best shot to make use of their time. But on the other hand, who could say that they are excellent in this area? And by supporting Tamil Chachamim, this is a legitimate answer to this indictment. In fact, the Chafetz Chaim says that Torah is Ikar Hakal. Torah is the lifeblood of the whole universe. And he says, not only people who spend their whole life working certainly have to think about, well, I don't know Shas, so I better support those who are learning. No, not only people who spent their life working. Says the Chafetz Chaim, afilu oisan hanoshim shehim ba'atzman loim de Torah mekayim mitzvos. Here you have someone, he learned Torah his whole life. So you say, okay, I learned Torah's whole life. This shir is for them. This shir is for people who went to school and went to work. They have to worry about supporting. Luckily, I'm a learner, so I don't have to support. No! The onus of supporting Torah rests on every single Jew. I always say that in a sense, the more a person learns, the more they have an obligation to support. Because somebody who learns Torah has a greater appreciation for what Torah is. He understands what Torah brings to the world. He understands the vitality of Torah. To an extent, it's the people who have dedicated their life to learning, they have the obligation to support. And the Chafetz Chaim quotes Chazal that says somebody who learned Torah and taught Torah and kept the Torah and he has the ability to support Torah and he didn't support, he's the opposite of Baruch. And therefore the Chafetz Chaim writes, he says, in the holy books it teaches us that those who support Torah, even if they were a complete Am Haaretz ba'olam hazeh, they will know the Torah in Olam Haba. And says the Chafetz Chaim, of course they will. They have a share in the learning of who they supported. And we know that Gan Eden, to a large extent, is created from the level of a person's knowledge of Torah. So if they were responsible for there being knowledge of Torah in the world, they will know Torah in Olam Haba. And therefore, says the Chafetz Chaim, a person should always think how one has to be machzik loim de Torah. Because in this world, let's say you're walking down the street and somebody said, let's say you're walking down the street and you saw somebody who knows the whole Masechta Erechin Baal Peh. You would say, wow, I wish I knew Erechin Baal Peh. I wish I knew Yoredeya. I wish I knew Choshen Mishpat. A person would probably say, you know, I would pay a lot of money to know this Perek or to know this Masechta. And that's even in this world when we don't even appreciate the value of such knowledge. And certainly in Olam Haba, where the Zohar says someone who inherits a Masechta inherits an entire world. And therefore, if a person was smart in this world to make the investment to be mechazek, loim de Torah, then it will bring a person such great happiness in the afterlife that if a person thinks about this, they would run after Balei Torah and want to partner with them more than they run after. You ever see somebody who's about to buy a nursing home and he's just trying to get some capital and find a partner? He runs after the guy, he'll chase him down, whatever he could do to be a shutuf, to enter such a deal. Likewise, when it comes to Olam Haba, if a person had the opportunity to not only to be Olamei Torah, a Malamei Torah, to be a Machzik Torah, that would be the ideal partnership and opportunity, and it will give a person great brachos. And as we mentioned, such a hanhaga is the hanhaga of the badim of the arayin. This is not something that one should think about occasionally. This is something that should be on the forefront of a person's mind. The same way v'higisa b'yom v'layla, we also have a mitzvah of b'taba'ois ha'arayin yu habadim lo yasuru mimenu. And in the times of Shloimei, we've given two approaches of why this inyan had to be nischazik. Chassam Sofer learns because in the times of Shloimei, they couldn't just rely on the man. They needed more reliance on Zevulan. We suggested that in times of Shloimei, where they wanted to give the knockout punch to the Koiches HaTuma, and the Koiches HaTuma exert their force against Vateka Kaf Yarech Yaakov, maybe that's why Shlomo put in the extra Kruvim. But whatever we do, to be Mechazik the Torah, the Arayin is Noise Es Noisav, and we are vouchsafed that to those who are Mechazik the Torah, they are zoicha to the great brachos of Oirech Yamim B'Yimina Usmaila Oishar V'Chavayin. Okay, Merv Raboisai, everyone's welcome to join us today at 5:30 p.m. for the Archos Chaim of the Rosh. This week's Wednesday night shir is Tuesday night. This week's Wednesday morning shir, it will be briefly tomorrow at 10:40. Okay? There will be no shir this Friday and no shir this Monday, coming Monday. We'll announce it more further in the week. Baruch Vatzlach, everyone. Have a great day. Kol Tov.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.